Now we'll go to Baghdad and in the Sunni stronghold of Fallujah today, a tenuous ceasefire. Meanwhile, about 20 miles south of Baghdad, U.S. supply convoys came under attack. China reports 7 of its citizens have been taken hostage. 3 Czech journalists are also missing. Still no news on the fate of 3 Japanese citizens taken hostage. And General Ricardo Sanchez, commander of U.S. ground troops in Iraq, said the United States is seeking to locate, capture, or kill radical Shiite cleric Muqtada al-Sadr. Well, joining us now on the phone from Baghdad is Washington Post correspondent Anthony Shadid, and good to speak with you again.
Yeah, good to be here.
This is all quite a bit of news to catch up on, but first, all of these recent kidnappings, do these point to a more organized resistance?
Well, I'm not sure if it's organized or not, but it definitely signals a shift in tactics. This is something we really hadn't seen that much until the past few weeks, and then there was a flurry of them. There was, perhaps more than 30 foreigners from maybe 12 countries have been abducted over the past few weeks, and for most of them, their fate still remains unknown.
Have the fact of these kidnappings, has that changed how foreigners decide to move around the country or even around their neighborhoods?
Yeah, I think it definitely has. I mean, with the U.S. administration in Baghdad, they seem to have pretty much stayed inside their headquarters in the Republican Palace near the Tigris. For other foreigners, I think contractors are also trying to stay off the roads. There's reports that some are refusing to drive on the more dangerous roads. And it's also given journalists pause, I think, in determining whether they want to go out and cover stories that they might have covered almost automatically even a month ago.
And we keep hearing reports that some hostages may have been released in some places. Is there any confirmation of any of those releases as yet?
The word's coming from right now. The word's coming from a member of the U.S. appointed governing council that 12 foreigners were released. Their identities are yet unknown, as other nationalities. We also heard word today that 2 U.S. soldiers and 7 employees of an American contractor, Kellogg Brown and Root, were missing. Now, this attack happened a couple of days ago, and there have been rumors for quite a while that they may have been taken hostage, but today was the first confirmation by a top U.S. official about that.
And we see, for example, Vice President Cheney visiting in Japan today, says the United States will do what it can to win the release of 3 Japanese citizens who are being held. Yet there in Baghdad, still the insistence the United States does not negotiate with hostage takers.
Right, it's had a lot of effect in Japan as well. Those hostages, there have been back and forth reports over the past few days that they were released, they were not released, and again, it's because there's so much confusion out there right now. There's obviously the country's been going through a lot of turmoil over the past few days. It's just hard to get a fix on what exactly is going on with them.
We're speaking with Anthony Shadid, the Baghdad correspondent of the Washington Post. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Well, talk about places where it's difficult to figure out what's going on. That would be Fallujah. Is there or is there not a ceasefire?
Well, the ceasefire seems to be holding. There have been intermittent clashes over the past couple of days, but compared to what we saw last week, there's definitely a tremendous reduction in the fighting going on there. I think Fallujah's had a real backlash, especially on Baghdad, and there's been a profound impact on public sentiments here in the capital. You see mosques trying to get supplies together, people volunteering to go fight in Fallujah. I think the persistence of violence, I can't say that this is a calculation of the U.S. military or not, but a persistence of violence could create even a greater backlash in a place that's already pretty tense right now.
And the ceasefire, as you say, is holding. Are negotiations underway in Fallujah?
Going on. They're through third-party intermediaries. Again, an official aligned with the governing council seems to be handling those. They've been dragging out for quite a while. The military has made clear that if there's a lot of maneuvering, they're going to press on with the offensive there. Again, we've seen a lot of loss of life on both U.S. and Iraqi side, particularly the Iraqi side, with reports of hundreds of dead. Again, I think there is a fear, a possibly a calculation that level of violence is maybe unsustainable.
Do you know who they're negotiating with specifically?
Well, the exact identity of the insurgents in Fallujah has always remained mysterious. I mean, you hear reports about foreign fighters there. You hear reports of people left over from Saddam's government, but you do get the sense, just the intensity of the fight against U.S. troops there, that it at least has elements of a popular type of resistance going on there. There does seem to be quite a few residents inside the town that that have taken up arms. There's reports here that we hear in the mosques, you know, people organizing, you know, are trying to send assistance to Fallujah that residents there even turned down to help. They don't need volunteers during this fight.
Mm-hmm. Now, the other front that opened last week was in the Shia area south of Baghdad, and that involved forces loyal to a cleric based in Baghdad normally, a Muqtada al-Sadr, who's now in Najaf. His militia, the Mahdi army, took over police and government buildings in several cities in southern Iraq. Tell us what's going on there.
Well, the U.S. administration was really alarmed with Sadr, and in particular the militia. And I think they see it as a threat, particularly as we look towards June 30th and the handover of sovereignty. The idea that if the militia is still around, it could create even bigger problems down the road. I think the degree of the campaign that Sadr unleashed again took people by surprise here. Several cities in the south, the militia was active in Baghdad as well, in particular a vast slum known as Sadr City, where the young cleric has his greatest support. The U.S. military has deployed down south to Najaf in particular, which is the most sacred Shiite city in Iraq. There is word right now that negotiations are going on. It's not clear what exactly those negotiations, what the issues are, but we just heard lately that Sadr's militiamen seem to have withdrawn, at least in part, from the streets and turned responsibility back over to police. There does seem to be a big effort here to avoid a confrontation in a city that's very sensitive in terms of religion.
And at the same time, while there seems to have been some progress made in negotiations, there in Baghdad at a news conference today, U.S. officials say their goal is to capture or kill Muqtada al-Sadr.
That's right. You do hear two lines going on. The U.S. officials have said they have no direct role in these negotiations. Again, it's going through third parties. But Lieutenant General Ricardo Sanchez made very clear what he saw his mission was, and that was, as you put it, to capture or kill Sadr. Again, Najaf is a very sensitive city, and it's something the U.S. officials have made clear from the very beginning that they prefer to avoid bloodshed in Najaf. There's a question of, you know, whether they can reach some kind of agreement on negotiations. U.S. officials have been pretty blunt that he's got to disband his militia, and that would be a big step down for Sadr to take.
We just have about a minute or so left, Anthony, but I wanted to ask you. Over the weekend, the U.S. Leader there, L. Paul Bremer, came out on many of the talk shows and issued reassuring talk about how this was a relatively small number of fighters involved in the Mahdi army, and that as far as the United States is concerned, the June 30th deadline is on track. Do you get the sense at all of any change in any quavering in the American position there from the people you speak with?
At least in public statements, you don't. You do hear them maintaining this line that these are isolated acts, and that the June 30th is a date, you know, basically that's not going to be changed. I think, in more private moments, there is a sense of unease over what we've seen over the past week. It's violence that's simply unprecedented since the end of the war last April. We're seeing definitely a different kind of resistance to the U.S. occupation. Fallujah is much more than bands of several fighters carrying out attacks against U.S. soldiers. It does seem to have a popular element to it. Sadr, again, he's not by any means the most, most popular Shiite leader, but he does have a constituency, and again, his campaign has elements of at least popular support. And I stress at least, elements.
Anthony Shadid of the Washington Post. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.